This is the Humboldt Chronicles.
I am the queen of everything. Gotta be high before I can sway. Light a tea and let it be. If you a viper.
Cheers to our music director for picking that music. I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by Eco Groovy Deals, Bear Extraction House, and Charleston Tree Service. Thank you very much. The truth is, we couldn't do it without you. Primary season, as you probably know, is just weeks away. In fact, the California presidential primary is March the 3rd. Aside from the election, there's also impeachment and more, missiles flying in the Middle East, wildfires in Australia, even more. All of this will no doubt suck up most of the oxygen in the public square. And so we're wondering then if this might be the year when a lot gets done under the radar regarding the cannabis industry at all levels of government. And we have just the right person here to talk to about that. He's Ross Gordon. He's going to join us. He's the policy director for the Humboldt County Growers Alliance, and we'll speak with him right after this. Chronicles wants to welcome Ross Gordon to the studio here. Ross, welcome back. You've been here before, and thanks for being here. We're going to start with some local issues, then we're going to move to state of California issues, and then on to the federal level. We're going to get into a lot of specifics that we've been talking about before the show went on the air here. But to start with, in your position as policy director at the Humboldt County Growers Alliance, is there an overarching priority this year? Is there one thing you want to get done? If you could snap your fingers right now and have one thing done now, what would it be?
So I think this is a great time to have this conversation because right now we're really opening the conversation with our own membership at Humboldt County Growers Alliance about what policy priorities do we want to see done this year? What do we want to focus on? What do we care about but maybe we consider less of a priority? Mm-hmm. So this is a really active conversation that we're having. And we recently surveyed our members and actually got them to sort of a answer to that question of what is the most important issue. And far and away, the most important issue, I think, for most of our members is taxes. The tax system, I think it's been said a lot, is really unsustainable. Yeah. California has the second highest tax rate of any state in the country. And I think that's something we would love to really focus on this year.
And that, of course, affects their profit margins and even getting into the business and so on, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it has a lot of effects. I think it discourages a lot of people from even trying to get into the regulated market in the first place. I think when you look at 30%, 40% at the high end that the government's going to take off the top at the state and local level, it's an open question in a lot of people's minds why even try to get started in this process.
And so some people are electing to stay in the unregulated market because of that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of drivers of that, but I think that's one big one. The numbers we've seen, we think, maybe 75% or 80% of the market in California is still in the unregulated market. And so there's definitely an argument to be made that it may be a lot of people see that and they're like, why bother getting a license?
If that were resolved, if that problem went away, snap your fingers, that's done, would that help? And I know there are some things that you don't have information on, but it seems to me that would help in places like Southern Humboldt, where there's a dearth of dispensaries. I mean, we have most of the retail market is McKinleyville, Arcata, and Eureka. South of the Eel River Valley, outside of what we expect will be a couple of dispensaries in Rio Dell, there's nothing. Right? So if it became more profitable for folks, wouldn't you think that would help out in Southern Humboldt?
Definitely. I think at all parts of the regulated market, there's a lot that needs to be done to get people in. I think, talking specifically to your point about retail in Southern Humboldt, mm-hmm. a lot of, any type of business, there's also other issues. There's issues like zoning and, mm-hmm. What else is going on. And when I say that taxes are the thing that we're hearing most, I think that's not to say that that's the only thing.
Access to financing. There's a lot.
Yeah, I think taxes really sticks out in people's minds as the mm-hmm. one thing that kind of is affecting them most day to day. But there's a lot beyond that.
Is there a reason to believe that there's some movement in Sacramento that would make revision of the tax policies a reality?
Yeah, I think this year things look better than they have in years past. It's definitely not a sure thing, but there was a report that came out from the Legislative Analyst's Office recently, which is part of the state legislature that creates reports and analyzes information. And basically what they said is they think the cultivation tax especially, that's the basically $150 a pound that you have to pay on every pound that goes out of a cultivation operation, they think that tax is really complicated, that it's not really necessary, and they'd like to see some other options. The governor is already proposing some changes to the tax structure. They're not quite at the level of a big reduction, but we think this may be a year when a big reduction is possible, or at least some tax relief.
You mentioned in your earlier answer some numbers about the unregulated market. Can you go back over those? What is the estimate of the unregulated market right now?
So the estimates I'm aware of are about 75% to 80% of the market in California is still unregulated. And if you look at, you know, one way to think about that is how many legal dispensaries are there? You mentioned Southern Humboldt, but even statewide. We've got, I think I looked at the numbers today, and there's 650 storefront dispensaries in the entire state and maybe another 250 delivery services. And California is a massive state. That number of retailers is about the same as states like Oregon and Colorado that have a tenth of our population. And so there's not access in many parts of the state, and there's in many ways not that much incentive with taxes and other things we're talking about to enter the regulated market, and that adds up to an unregulated market, which has always been here and has just continued to exist.
So that gets us full circle back to the whole tax issue. I mean, is that one of the solutions? I'm sure there are many.
Yeah, I think that's a really major big picture solution. There are others, but I think that's a really big one.
Okay. We're kind of jumping around a little bit, but I wanted to ask you a question about Appalachians. I mean, as you know, SB 185 was signed in law in October, and that sets a process in motion whereby Appalachians of origin can be created. And I'm wondering if there's activity along these lines in Humboldt County, and what does that look like?
So right now we're kind of in a position where we're waiting on the state a little bit. So the state has to develop their Appalachian regulations by the beginning of 2021. So we're in the final 11 months or so here. And we think in the next month or so, they're finally going to come out with their proposed regulations around Appalachians. And until we have that information, I think there's a ton of excitement around Appalachians, and there's a ton of desire from the farmers we're talking with to get started with Appalachians. But it can't really get started until the state kind of gives us the framework and the go-ahead. And so in the next month or so, we'll probably see those Appalachian regulations in draft form. There will be a chance for public comment. Would really strongly encourage anyone who's interested to be involved in that to take a look at those regulations and see what they think about them. And then once we have some final regulations, then kind of the starter's gun goes off and different regions of Humboldt can really start thinking in a lot of detail about what is it that farmers in that region want to see for an Appalachian. And one thing that's exciting about it, I think, is it's really a farmer-controlled process. Once we have Appalachian regulations, it'll be up to farmers themselves to decide what are the boundaries of the region, what sort of practices do we all want to agree on that go into an Appalachian, how do we want to talk about and express our Appalachian, and I think that'll be a really exciting opportunity to develop sort of the unique Humboldt County spin on what cannabis is.
Is it the case, I mean, I suppose until the state has issued its regulations, maybe it's not possible to answer this question, but is the process going to be, like, who's going to control the process and run the process? I assume there'll be ad hoc working groups set up, but do you have any anticipation of how that's going to roll out?
So right now the law is written that the Department of Food and Agriculture, CDFA, is going to create these regulations, and then they're going to be responsible for granting the petitions. So right now most of that interaction will be with the Department of Agriculture. One thing which throws a little bit of a wrench in that, which maybe we'll get to later, is recently there was a proposal to consolidate the agencies that regulate cannabis, and the Department of Agriculture is only one of three agencies that regulates cannabis. So I think there's an open question, if that proposal goes through, depending on what the details are like, will the Department of Agriculture continue to have that control over Appalachians? That's something which is going to remain to be seen, and we'll see how the details work out with that.
So this is something that does not require legislative action. It's an agency action. Is that right?
Exactly.
I think that's good. Yeah. You tell me if I'm right or wrong.
I think it has been a major priority of, you know, the advocacy groups coming from this region to have appellations in the law. And, you know, it's been in state law since 2015, and we are many years down a process of implementing that. And, yeah, I think it's a great thing we have it in the law, and it's something that at this point is just a question of getting it out the door.
How's the Growers Alliance going to be involved in that? Or do you know yet?
So we're going to be working with other legacy cultivation regions. Origins Council out of Mendocino County has done really great work around appellations, helping to unite Mendocino County, Trinity County, Nevada County. We'll be working with them. One of our big priorities, I'd say our biggest priority in this process, will be to be sure that appellations have integrity in terms of representing the region that they're from. So that appellations are in the full sun, that they're in the ground, that they really express the full terroir of the region that surrounds them. And we think that integrity will be important when we go national, when we go international, to saying Humboldt County produced Appalachian cannabis is from Humboldt County in every way.
Right. You know, one of the issues that has come up here locally ever since we started this show is the issue of banking. Just an issue that most people in their day-to-day lives take for granted. In this business, it's not like that. Has there been any movement on that? And secondarily, if there hasn't been much movement on it, are folks just finding workarounds? What's going on there?
So we were hopeful that this year would be the year that banking would be resolved at the federal level. Mm-hmm. There was federal legislation that passed the House that had at least some interest in the Senate that would have just solved all these banking issues and said that banks can do business with cannabis businesses, and there's no barrier to that. Unfortunately, it was held up in committee by a Republican senator and didn't go through. Given that decision has been made and that senator is still going to be there, we're not incredibly hopeful about next year fixing banking. In the short term, we're probably going to have to find workarounds. And definitely, I know there are banks that are working with cannabis businesses. I know every business has their own way to deal with banking issues, but it's one of the biggest issues, and it's one.
Where's that senator from?
Senator Mike Crapo, I think, from Idaho. Yeah.
And one senator can do that.
Yeah, so he's the chair of the relevant committee, which I don't remember the name of now.
Right.
But it was interesting. He came out and said, well, I might be willing to support this if you accede to sort of my list of demands, which included a 2% maximum of THC content in products. And it didn't seem to be an especially serious or thought-through list of demands. So I think most people just read that as a no, you know, he's not interested in moving that forward, unfortunately.
Right. We're going to gaze into the future some more after a short break. We'll throw some statewide cannabis issues at Ross and ask him to help us understand them right after this. Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. Our guest this evening is Ross Gordon. He's policy director for the Humboldt County Growers Alliance. Ross, in trying to stay current on these issues, you know, Larry and I, and I'm sure you do too, we do a lot of reading almost every day, and I come across predictions, especially this time of year, for states that have legalized cannabis. And a few things I've seen, I'd like to get just your quick thoughts on. One, I've seen predictions that retail sales will increase. More types of cannabis will be available, such as beverages, more diverse customer base, especially as it relates to women consumers, more research into anti-cancer properties and antibiotic properties. Your reaction to some of those outlooks and predictions? Are you hearing some of the same things?
Yeah, I think all of those are really good predictions. I think definitely one thing we'll see is increasing sort of normalization of cannabis and increasing, I think a lot of the things you spoke to sort of cannabis becoming more mainstream, cannabis reaching more groups of people who maybe weren't aware of it or weren't familiar with it or didn't feel it was for them. And I think that is something that we're seeing more and more of every year. One thing which I think will be interesting to watch, and I won't make a prediction about it, but we're definitely seeing a lot of unfortunately, distress in parts of the cannabis supply chain, especially some of those companies that have taken on more investment are not sort of hitting their numbers for what their investment wants. And I'm thinking more some of the larger distributors and retailers down the supply chain. And so I think a big question this year will be, does overall, does the market seem to be doing better? Does it seem like more people are buying legal regulated cannabis, or does some of that struggling continue?
What's the cause of that?
I think it's some of the things we were talking about earlier. Taxes are a big one. Access, to retail is a big one. And just, in general, the complexity of this whole project has been really an issue. I think one thing that is an advantage for us in Humboldt, I think we have been more invested in, I think, steady sort of organic growth. And I think parts of the state that were really invested in sort of taking on a bunch of venture capital and expanding at sort of the pace that venture capital wants you to expand, that sort of excitement of, cannabis is legal, Prop 64, it's all going to blow up. I think Humboldt didn't so much buy into that. I think Humboldt is growing at a manageable pace. But I think because statewide things aren't growing so quickly, the question will be how overall the market continues to move.
Didn't the correct me if I'm wrong here, is it the cultivation tax rate? There were some increases as of January 1st of this year. Is that right? I mean, that seems to be something that will not help mitigate that, right?
For sure. It came at exactly the wrong time. For sure.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, so frustrating to so many people to see things already being, so much taxation. And then on top of that, you get this increase in the cultivation tax to adjust for inflation, and also an increase in how the retail tax is calculated, which honestly is too complicated for radio. But to put it briefly, these are things which were baked into the law.
Yeah.
In some sense, we knew they were coming, but in another sense, I think it still came as a shock that they actually went through with it. And so, in the next year, I think that's one of the things that is going to cause the legislature, really the legislature has to fix this. That's one of the things which is going to lead them to reconsider the whole tax situation, is that, this tax increase happened in the new year. It can't be rolled back unless the legislature acts, and so the ball's in the legislature's court about whether
they're
going to
act. Are you optimistic they're going to take that up?
I think
and do something about it?
I'm more optimistic than I have been in previous years. I think there's a lot of pressure on them to act on it, and it's hard to say.
You would think,
yeah. I think it's important. I think as people affected by this, that we stand together, that we organize, we work in coalition, and make it clear that the current tax rate isn't sustainable. And I think there is a chance this year.
Yeah.
That's something that may be related to the tax discussion, maybe not, but I was on an investment website the other day reading an article. The main article was about how 2019 was a terrible year for cannabis stocks, generally speaking. But they had one statistic that really caught my eye, and according to them, in 2017, when California was on the 215 regime, medical marijuana sales statewide, roughly about $3 billion. And in 2018, when recreational was added to the mix, the overall sales declined, and according to this website, by about $500 million to $2.5 billion. So that seemed odd and counterintuitive to me, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on why that would be the case.
So I'm familiar with those specific numbers. I think those are really interesting numbers. If I were going to speculate about some of the reason for that, under Prop 215, in terms of what you could call legal medical sales, dispensaries that were at least, trying to follow the Prop 215 framework, however sort of vague and unclear that framework was, there was no sort of regulation, largely. I mean, there was no taxation, there was no regulation, and so it was much more of a pure free market. And I think now that we have all these regulations and all this taxation, the amount of sales that's happening in the legal market may be lower. The amount of sales that's happening overall, including the unregulated market, it's hard, obviously, to have numbers about that. I don't think anyone knows. But I can definitely see how, in terms of sort of the dispensaries that are out in front visibly, people are seeing that's too expensive, and they're going back to, the person they know in the unregulated market.
So is it the case that under the prices in the dispensary today are significantly higher than they were before 64 came in?
Yeah. I mean, when you add, taxation, the cost of permitting, the cost of real estate went up in all the areas where, you know, dispensaries are permitted, the cost of testing, which, you know, I think testing is great. I think it's one of the best aspects of the regulated framework we have, that we finally have assured clean, safe product, but that is a cost. And when you look at, you know, all of those costs, dispensary prices are, you know, maybe 40-50% higher than what you get off the street.
So you mentioned earlier about consolidation of some of these agencies, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Is this going to be the Department of Cannabis Control? Is that what it's eventually going to be? It would seem like what you and Larry were just talking about, that would be a much more efficient way of handling all these issues. Is that right or wrong?
It could be. Definitely. There's some possible benefits to it, and there's some possible costs. And definitely efficiency seems like one of the possible mm-hmm. benefits. Having three separate regulatory agencies, no one I've talked to thinks that that is fun to deal with or efficient, or, you know, people who are asking questions to the agencies, they get different answers from different agencies. Who has control over what issues? How do they talk to each other? I mean, from an efficiency perspective, it makes a lot of sense. I think the thing that is somewhat of a concern with that is, you know, I think there's been a strong feeling that cannabis is agriculture. Not a strong feeling, cannabis is agriculture mm-hmm. in reality. And so, you know, there is a argument that it should be regulated by the Department of Agriculture. Sure. And I think one big fear with consolidation is what happens if cultivators and farmers are suddenly regulated by, you know, bureaucrats in cities who don't really know anything about farming and are thinking about, you know, big indoor mm-hmm. operations when we've got, you know, 1,000 licensed outdoor farmers here in the Emerald Triangle. So I think a lot of that will come down to implementation of this consolidation proposal. It's still just a proposal, just to be clear to everyone out there. And the governor's office has said they don't, even if it becomes law, they don't expect it to be implemented until the middle of 2021. So there's a lot of details to be worked out, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
I would love to ask you about interstate commerce. It's been one of my pet peeves in covering this this industry as it's been growing over the last several years. So here's how I want to ask it. Recently, there were some political pundits who are predicting that a number of states this year are going to come on board to the list of those who have legalized recreational cannabis: Connecticut, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island. What do we do in California if producers with this many states, if all of those do legalize? We'll have a lot of states that have legalized it now. So what about interstate commerce? How is that going to, is the state of California thinking about this? Are these other states thinking about it?
So I think it's something that this year everyone is thinking about in a serious way, and not just will it happen, but how will it happen. And so in thinking about that conversation for HCGA, the number one priority for us is that when interstate commerce opens, will that framework be one that enables Humboldt County businesses to be successful? And I think that is a major outstanding question, because I think if you look at other states and businesses in other states, they don't know about outdoor sun-grown cultivation. They mm-hmm. don't know necessarily. I mean, they've heard of Humboldt County usually, but they don't know about the culture and the production methods and the history and all of it. And, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to help people understand not only the importance of that history, because I think it's important history just mm-hmm. in general and mm-hmm. important to communicate that, but how much of the cannabis movement and cannabis businesses are based here in Humboldt County. So in terms of how that's going to move forward, you know, Oregon passed legislation last year that was first in the nation legislation that allows interstate commerce for Oregon businesses. And that's conditional on the federal government saying it's okay. And it's conditional on having agreements with other states. Mm-hmm. But it's the first time that there's a framework sort of in place. That legislation is probably going to be introduced this year in California as well.
Similar legislation.
Okay. And if that legislation moves forward, it may move forward in other states as well. Sort of the idea is, particularly as we look at the presidential election coming up, if we have elect a president who is willing to issue an executive order that says that we will tolerate cannabis trade between legal states that would like to do it, which is within the president's power to tolerate that, then that's something which could turn on as soon as 2021.
Wow.
So things are moving quickly.
Which of the candidates have, if any, have said that they would sign such an executive order?
I don't think that precise question has yet been posed to any presidential candidate.
But in general?
In general, every candidate except Biden has to my understanding, endorse the full legalization of cannabis. And a number of candidates, I believe, have said on day one they would sign executive orders to make that happen. One very interesting plan that I think came out is Bernie Sanders' plan, and, mm-hmm. and one reason it really stuck out to me is that it's the first plan I've seen from a national figure that acknowledges the existence of cannabis as agriculture. Small farms are very much a part of that plan. It includes an idea of incentives for cooperatives, and also sort of the idea that small business should be at the backbone of a cannabis industry. So those are the types of conversations I would love to see more of among the presidential candidates. I think they're just coming to understand this issue. But as they come to understand it, whoever's the president is going to have enormous power mm-hmm. over how this goes. So,
this may be kind of a silly question, but is it axiomatic that if full 50-state interstate commerce was permitted, that that would be beneficial to hemp growers?
I think it almost, well, ideally it would be. I think if you look at the basics of it, you know, expanding markets, you know, bringing the best quality weed in the world to the rest of the world is obviously an enormous win for Humboldt County. The fear, obviously, is what is a federal regulator going to look like? What's federal tax going to look like? You know, what's distribution going to look like? Is this all going to be rolled out in a way that squeezes Humboldt County to make way for big business? Or is this going to be implemented in a way that enables, you know, our farmers to survive and thrive? And I think, you know, if we have a chance, there's no chance that Humboldt County is going to thrive. But it has to be done right.
Do you think it will be?
That's an open question. I think that really has to be on all of our minds more and more. It's, you know, increasingly it's not a theoretical question. It's something, you know, the rest of the country needs to hear about Humboldt County and needs to understand the way we do things here.
Well, you know, recently I just read that we're now way above 2/3 in the national polls of people who say just fix this. You know, so that's a good thing. At least we're headed in the right direction, I guess. Are we right about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's we've passed the breaking point
okay.
a little bit. Yeah.
All right, Ross. Thank you again for your time and for helping us to understand all of this. We hope to have you back again sometime. Thank you very much, Larry. We learned a lot.
We did.
Yeah.
That was an information-packed half hour.
I think we should do this periodically because there's so much that goes on, whether it's statewide or even at the local level, and certainly federally, yeah. that we need to keep up on it.
Yeah.
So thanks for the education,
sure.
Ross.
Yep, thank you.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. This edition of the Humboldt Chronicles will be posted soon at 941lounge.com, LostCoastOutpost.com, and wherever you get your podcasts, you can probably find it there. Thanks for listening. We want to say thanks to our sponsors, Eco Groovy Deals and Bear Extraction House, plus Charleston Tree Service. We'll be back with the Humboldt Chronicles at 6 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month. So we'll see you next time on February the 19th at 6 o'clock.